Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I can hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. I am so excited that you joined me on today, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to be greatly, greatly blessed. Why don't you grab your Bible and come right on in at home and make yourself right here at home. And I want to say thank you for allowing me to come into your home on today or your places of abode, amen, on today. And I'm just excited about the Word of God. I tell you, if you can get excited about anything, I tell you, we must, as the people of God, is always get excited by it. Hearing what thus said the Lord, reading his written word, spoken word into our life, over our life, rehearsing it and remembering it and just speaking it in the atmosphere. Because the Bible said God told us to put him in remembrance of his word. And when we put him in remembrance of his word, I tell you, I believe the entire universe is calibrated to act upon the word of the Lord when we release it in the atmosphere. And so I encourage you on today, just open your mouth and start releasing what thus said the word of the Lord. And God spoke to my heart one day. He said, Helen, tell my people that if you're looking for a word from the Lord, he said, I've already spoken. Pick up your Bible and start reading it and speaking it out in the atmosphere. Amen. Because his word has gone out of his mouth and is not going to return unto him void. It shall, it will, it is expected, it is ordained to accomplish what that thereunto where he has sent his word. And he sent it that you might be healed, that you might be saved, that you might be delivered, that you might have life, and that more abundantly. Whatever pertaineth to life and godliness has already been established for us as the children of God. We must know how to release it, to live in it, to expect it, to work on our behalf. Oh, my God, my God. I get excited about the word of the Lord. So I want to invite you to go with me on today. I believe that we have a wonderful lesson, belonging to Christ. You know, there's a scripture that says over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse 23, it says, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. We're going to be looking at several passages of scriptures on today, and I'm just going to go ahead and read them in your hearing. You can write them down if you want from this wonderful lesson on today. Let us pray. Father, we come right now boldly, O God, unto the throne of God, asking, O God, that you will bless, Lord. We take authority over the airwaves, and Lord, take dominion right now, that your word will have precourse and preeminence in the lives of your people on today. Let it bring revelation. Let it be a rhema word, a sure word, a right down word unto your people. Revelate them. Give them understanding. Let the eyes of their understanding be enlightened on today. And God, we'll praise your blessed name. We'll give you the glory and the honor that's due unto you, recognizing that, Lord, you have all power. Well, I said power, dunamis power, in your hand and name. God, we thank you, dear God, as we embrace everything that you've given unto us, as we embrace all of your favor, your grace, your mercy, your love for the people of God. And God, we thank you. Bless our hearers. And Lord, not only to be a hearer of your word, but also a doer of your word. Empower and impact our lives, God. And we thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. Okay, child of God, again, welcome again to home. Once you get your Bible, and we're going to look at Mark chapter number 10, verses number 17 to verse 22. Then we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 22, verse 23, and Philippians chapter number 2, verses 19 through verse number 9 to verse number 13, and that's in Philippians. And so it reads on this line, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these things have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest. Go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have much treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me.' And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, verse 20 to verse 23. "Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called, being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freedman. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Ye are both bought with a price. Be not ye the servant of man." Now let's look at Philippians chapter number 2, verses 9 to 13. It said, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every knee, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So far, the reading of the scriptures for this lesson on today, belonging to Christ. Now, when the Lord created man in the Garden of Eden, he had made a unique creature. God made man of the dust and of the earth, yet he gave man an eternal soul with freedom to make choices. Now, man was created with the ability to reason, to think, to feel emotions. Moreover, he was able to communicate his thoughts, his desire and will to God as well as to others. Man would have to decide for himself whether he would live according to the law of God or whether he would rebel against his creator. Unfortunately, man chose to serve sin immediately became a slave to sin and to his own carnal nature. Now, God did not give up on man, but made various provisions throughout the dispensation so that communication and fellowship could be restored between himself and man. Ultimately, the Lord himself came in flesh and dwelt as the Son of God among mankind and gave himself for the sins of the world. God sent his Son into this world to die for our sins and purchase our salvation with his own blood. Oh, child of God, what a beautiful, beautiful thing that God has done for us, God. Let's take a look here further. To avail ourselves from the previous and the precious gift of eternal life in Christ, we must believe and obey the plan of salvation that is prescribed in the scripture. We must obey the gospel message of Acts chapter 2, verse 38, by repenting of our sins, being baptized in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, by receiving the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. Now, the new birth experience, it frees us from the sins of this life, and we become a servant of the Lord instead of servants, a slave to sin. It is vital that we surrender all to Him and to do His will, for now we belong to Him. We are no longer our own because we have been bought with the price of Christ's precious blood. Every part of our life is now at His disposal as we yield the throne of our lives to Him. Now, the scripture revealed that we cannot serve both the Lord and the devil. Christ will be Lord over all of our lives or not Lord of our life at all. We cannot serve both God and be overly concerned ourselves with the cares of this world. That's why we must be extremely cautious as well as careful. Moreover, we must make our choice and decision according to His divine will. The Lord loves to bless His people. He trusts us with material possession, but we are to be good stewards and recognize the divine ownership of everything that we possess. There are blessings and security in belonging to God, Christ. He is going to take care of us in every area of life. He is concerned about our physical, material, financial, and spiritual needs. It is comforting to know that nothing can pluck us out of His hand except our own disobedient actions. There are several blessings in allowing our talents, our ability to be used for the work of God in the earth. We are His property. Our hands and our feet are useful in laboring for the Lord. Our lips sing the praises of God. We pray and intercede for others as He directs us. We are members of the body of Christ and the servants of the Lord as long as He is supreme and exalted upon the thrones of our life. He is the one who is to receive the glory and glorified and praised because we can do nothing without Him. He is the vine, and we are the branches, and we are to exalt Him. Now, let's take a look at the believer's state purchased by Christ's blood. Let's take a look at that. All creation, mankind is different. The animals, the birds, live by their God-directed instinct. They have no conscience or guilt. They do not reason or feel responsible for their action. But within man, God places a spiritual consciousness. We have an eternal soul and the ability to love, hate, laugh, and cry. We may experience our free will and make choices. From the beginning, mankind was given the ability to make choices regarding his relationship with God. He could choose to obey or defy his law. With those choices would come certain consequences. If a person served God, he would receive the benefit and blessing. But if he chose to disobey the Lord, the punishment would be swift and sure. Adam and Eve disobeyed God and caused the entire human race to come up under the bondage of sin. Our forefather became servants of sin. They were brought under the bondage to the desires and the whims of the flesh. God is merciful and long-suffering. He could have destroyed mankind from the face of the earth, but in his love and compassion for his creation, he spared us. Looking ahead from the gloomy judgment day in Edom, God promised a redeemer that would bruise the head of the adversary. In that dark hour, a rays of hope shined upon human race. God made merciful provision for every group of people throughout the various dispensations for restored communication as well as fellowship back unto him. But his ultimate act of restoration came at the cross of Calvary. In God's own time, he robed himself in fleshly body and was born of a virgin named Mary as the Son of God. His father was the Holy Spirit. So the only begotten Son of God was both human and deity. The scripture revealed that all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. You'll find that over in Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 9. Jesus, the Son of God, was born to die. The shadow of a cross gloomed over him throughout his life because his mission was to give his life and shed his blood to purchase our redemption. Only the sinless Lamb of God could die in order to save fallen humanity. Only his blood could wash away our sins. Before Jesus came, the plot of man was hopeless. Man could not exonerate himself from the sinful habits or break forth out of those sinful habits, nor the fear that held him fast. Hopelessly, he served sin and lived under the influence of Satan. Love motivated the Lord to yield himself to the authorities and the soldier who rudely mistreated him before they crucified him. They brutally beat him on his back and planted a crown of thorns upon his brow. Yet he silently endured the mockery of a trial and repleted the false witnesses. He had determined to provide salvation for us by offering himself as a sin offering for us. A few hours after the mock trial, the earth beneath the old rugged cross received the blood of our precious Lord as his life slowly embedded away. The blood was the price paid for our salvation and deliverance. When a person became a believer, he does not more than make a verbal statement of accepting Christ as their personal Savior. He also followed God's definite plan of salvation that he might be born again and belong to Christ. A sinner must repent of the sin, feel a godly sorrow for the life spent in sin, recognize his need for forgiveness and desire to change his ways of living so that he can please God. These are part of the repentance. We ask his forgiveness for our sin with the intention of not continuing in our old ways of living. The scripture then commands us to be baptized, immersed in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. As a part of the new birth experience, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ washes away sins. The early church practiced baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, for they were fulfilling the great commission that was given to them by the Lord. Matthew 28:19. On the day of Pentecost, Peter commanded water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. This same practice was repeated among the Samaritans, Acts chapter number 8, the Gentiles, Acts chapter number 10, the disciples of John the Baptist, Acts chapter number 19. Paul was commanded to baptize in the name of Jesus so that his sins would be washed away. And this is still God's plan to remit or wash away our sins. Acts chapter 22:16 said, "And now while tarriest thou, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sin, calling on the name of the Lord." Furthermore, we find we were to be filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God give utterance. This baptism, this birth of the Spirit, complete the new birth experience. And you'll see that over in John chapter number 3, verses 3 to 8. We have been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. No longer are we slaves of sin. We no longer belong to sin. We belong to Jesus Christ. It was once as if we were on an endless treadmill of sin. Sin had changed so that we could not escape. We was going in the endless circles of activity. Satan tempted us, deceived us. influenced us to follow his evil course in this world. You'll find that over in Ephesians chapter 2. Then Jesus came with deliverance, yet today enslaving habits of sin still destroy the lives of its victims and send them to an untimely grave. Multitude may desire to be free from sin, but they do not yet know that Jesus made deliverance possible for everyone by his death on the cross. Jesus paid for their freedom, but they must avail themselves of it by obeying the scriptures. The sinner must submit his human will to the call of God. He may hear the word of God preached so that the conviction may grip his heart. He must make the decision to yield to the beckoning call of God. Now, let's take another look and another aspect. A servant of Christ. A servant is one who serves his master. When we were living in sin, we served sin and self, but they were our masters. And we were servants of the Lord, and now we are servants of the Lord, and he is our master. What a difference since he broke the chains of darkness in our lives. Sin and Satan are cruel taskmasters. Life can be exhilarating, existing up under sin's bondage. Living for Jesus Christ, however, is a new and abundant life. John 10 and 10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The chains of sins are restrictive, and they are loaded with guilt, which is heavy. Sin's yoke is tight and unyielding, but the yoke of Christ is easy as well as being light. Jesus offered us a way of living that is both pleasant as well as productive. We serve him not because of fear, but because we love him. Though we do have an awesome respect for the Lord, the basis of our service to him is love. We love him because he first loved us and gave himself for us. Jesus delivered us from the labor of cruel sin to labor for him in love. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful exchange. Let's look further. Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30 said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, you'll find that over again in Matthew 11, verse 28 through verse 30. Now, there is security in being servants of the Lord. Since we belong to him, we can depend upon him to supply our needs and to protect us. The Lord will give us guidance for our lives to be productive. Many child of God testify to the experience of God's provision. Whatever the need, he will take care of us. The angel of the Lord encamp about them, his servants, and watch over our safety. Whether we are going on the highway traveling or resting in our homes, we can take comfort in the fact that the unseen angels of the Lord are guiding and guarding our homes, our property, our lives. We are the property of Jesus Christ himself, and he will make sure that we are cared for. Let us continually to put our trust and confidence in the Lord our God. Now, since we are Christ, we look to him each day for our marching orders. He is the tent of our salvation, and we are up under his command. However he directs us, we are to obey his bidding as his servants. When we serve sin, we did the will of the flesh and the devil. As free moral agent, it was our choice to serve sin. God called us to offer salvation unto us, but he left the choosing or the choice up to us. Choose ye this day whom you would serve. Romans 8:5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. When we are born again, we begin to do the will and the bidding of God. As servants of the Lord, we desire to please him and do what he asked of us. Now let's look at another aspect that the believers must surrender all. Religion is not enough, child of God. Let us look further. Some religions have a strict code of ethics and behavior, but they are obviously lacking the power of God. The people experience no change in their nature. To observe certain rules and regulations and to exercise stringent discipline may be commendable, but without the regeneration, a new birth, such as the human effort, is of no avail. Moreover, it could lead to a new kind of bondage to distort the doctrine of self-righteousness. Now, when we are born again, hear me, child of God, according to the scripture, we become a new creation in Christ Jesus, and that is essential and vital. We experience spiritual change inwardly as well as outwardly. Our old stony hearts of indifference is replaced with the new compassionate heart full of care and concern. Our desire changes from life of sin to a life of righteousness. We turn from the thoughts of the world to pursue the mind of Christ. This certainly does not mean that the child of God is no longer tempted. We still live in the flesh and is orientated towards this world. It is if it is not kept up under control by the Spirit of Christ in us, it will lead us back unto the bondage of sin. But God has given us power and strength to resist temptation as long as we live in the influence of the Spirit. Now our birth, new birth, have destroyed the shackle of sin that held us all long enough. Now let's look at a life that is surrendered. The believer's life is one of surrender to the will of God. While some people might say that this is spiritual bondage, in reality, it is the only true freedom. The will of God is always the best for us, even when we do not recognize or understand. God cares dearly for his servant, for they are not only servants, but also his sons and daughters. He even called us his friend. It is a privilege to be a servant of the Lord. The rich ruler wanted to know the requirement of receiving eternal life. Perhaps he thought that keeping the laws of Moses was sufficient. He proudly reminded the Lord that he had obeyed the Ten Commandments, but his obedience had been conditional. He willingly lived a moral life, but he was not willing to give up his convenience of his wealth that gave to him. He may have loved God, but he loved his money more. He wanted eternal life, but he wanted his life of ease on this earth as well. When Jesus asked him to sell his possession to give it to the poor and follow him, the young ruler was unwilling to make a commitment. Jesus asked him to take up the cross and follow him. The surrendered commitment was more than he was willing to give. Surrendering all and obeying the will of God is difficult for the flesh to handle. The flesh resists the will of God. Even Jesus in the garden wrestled with the flesh, and the struggle was so agonizing that sweat became as great as drops of blood. But Jesus surrendered his will to the will of God. Not my will, but thy will be done. You'll find that in Luke 22:42. Because we do not belong to ourselves, we will often pray a similar prayer. Lord, not my will, but your will. The flesh struggles and resists, but if we persevere, the Spirit will give us strength to win every battle. The child of God are the hands and the feet of the Lord on the earth. We are the body of Christ. Jesus Christ is the head, gives the command to the body and the command that we are to carry out for him. It is abnormal for a human body not to carry out the function of the brain. The human body is a marvel, a miraculous function. The brain sends out the signals and the members respond accordingly. If the signals are scrambled because of the disease or injury, the results will be pathetic. Since Jesus is the head of the church, it is normal for us to do his bidding. We belong to him. Our duty is to yield to his wishes. Each child of God has been blessed with a talent and ability. We can use them for selfish gain or self-gratification, or we can use them for the work of God. Those talents really are not our own any longer because we surrender them to God when he saved us from our sin. It is not our decision. Therefore, we should use our talents and abilities since they are really his. Our possession belongs to God. Everything we possess is surrendered to him when we are given our life to the Lord. He allows us to use those possessions, but they really belong to him. If he should ask for them, it is only right that we surrender them back to them. But surrendering our all to God is not grievous, for we know that he always has our best interests in mind. We must recognize that it is that surrendering and submission unto the Lord are not difficult for those who believe in God, for they know of his goodness and that he has our best interests at heart. We must recognize further that our very existence is in the hand of the Lord. Our life is a precious gift from him. As a child of God, we recognize that the tremendous gift and the opportunity that God has given us through our own human life. For that reason, we look at life differently from the way carnal people see life. We share schools and careers and other decisions with them. But the basic and motivation that govern their lives are not biblical or spiritual. They ultimately follow carnal desires and ambition, but with little or no consideration of the one who gave them the gift of life. The child of God asked the Lord, "What do you want me to do with my life?" We consult the Lord in all matters, whether we have to make minor or major decisions. Many child of God have to begin new occupation, and some of them end up in a foreign mission field or in the home mission city to work for Christ. The important thing is to do the will of the Lord in our life by asking them, "Lord, what is your will for my life?" Now let's look further. Christ is Lord, the exalted name of Jesus. We are to exalt and to hallow the name of the Lord Jesus in our life. One of the ways that we exalt and honor his name is by living a godly life in an evil world. By our life of holiness, devotion to Christ, we bring honor and glory to his cause on earth. Pentecostals have been known through the years as holiness people who refrain from many unwholesome and evil activities. The reputation has not dishonored or reproached Christ, rather it honors him. We honor his name in our daily living as we separate ourselves from evil and commit ourselves to his righteousness. We are ambassadors for Christ in a society of alienated to Christian principles. The moral fabric of our society is unraveling and sin is becoming more public and bizarre. We sometimes walk along spiritual sewages, but we must remain uncontaminated by the immorality of others. As a pure, clean people, we are to shine as a light in this dark world. When we show respect for God and spiritual things, the name of the Lord is exalted through our testimony and daily life. On the other hand, if we fail to live godly, the name of the Lord is reproached. Now let's look at Jesus is supreme. The word idolatry means worship a false idol. It is the failure to recognize that there is only one God, that is, he is one. The Lord alone is sovereign, and there is no room for others. There is only one true and living God, and all others are false. The child of God belongs to the one true God. No idols can have a place in their lives. Our worship is directed to the true and living God, and he must reign supreme in our life. As we serve Jesus Christ, we are not immune from temptations in this world. The daily struggle to provide a livelihood can cause us to be tempted to love possession. We may and should enjoy what God gives to us, but we must resist desiring the things of this world. If a person begins to worship his earthly possession, his love and devotion to Christ will soon be polluted and perverted. We cannot love God and money at the same time. We are to love our families, friends, and all sinners, but we are to love God first and foremost. Matthew 6:33 said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." People have problems when they try to serve two masters. They reach for two worlds, and they end up losing both of them. A great danger for a child of God today is to overcharge with the cares of the world, of this life. Our spiritual bearings must not become confused. If we lose our spiritual compass, we will become lost in the fog and the dash upon this rock. Prosperity becomes a curse when it becomes an idol. Idolatry and covetousness are close companions. The child of God must maintain the proper priorities in their life, and they can do this only when they allow the Lord Jesus Christ to be supreme in your life. The Lord desires to bless his people with possession as long as they remain spiritually in control of them. We must be good stewards and not forget his divine ownership. Jesus Christ is divine, and we are the branches, and he can exit without us, but we cannot. He can exist without us, but we cannot survive without him, not spiritually. Our spiritual life comes from him and him alone. Whatever talents and ability that God blessed us with, we must always submit them to the glory of God. Only when Christ is supreme in our decision activity can we praise and glorify him. There are great blessings in belonging to Christ. We have ample opportunity to partner with God in evangelizing the lost. We can intercede for others and be laborers together with Christ. The Lord shows us by his example the importance of being a servant. He spent his entire life serving others and gave the ultimate gift of servitude, and he gave by giving his life. He vividly demonstrated servanthood by washing the feet of his disciple, and it is his example of demonstrated servant that we must follow. What a blessing and privilege it is to serve the Lord by serving others. Concluding and in my closing, our relationship with the Lord is possible because of his sacrifice on Calvary. We were bound in sin and held fast in the grips of the enemy until Jesus purchased our salvation with his blood. We were not redeemed with silver and gold. Jesus purchased us with his precious blood. His reason for doing so was to wrap us up in the word of John 3:16. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus made it possible for us to come away from the bondage and be delivered from the bondage of sin. And he replaced the chains of darkness with his own cords of love. We serve a cruel taskmaster at one time, which was Satan. But now Jesus came and offered us a yoke that is easy and a light burden. The blood of Jesus Christ made it possible for men to find salvation through the new birth experience, as explained by Jesus, John 3:3-8, and proclaimed by Peter, Acts 2:38. We now serve our Lord Jesus Christ since we belong to him. We surrender our will and desire in order to please him in our daily living. His will is always good, perfect, and acceptable. He is always working for our own ultimate good and upbuilding of the kingdom of God. There are multitudes blessing in living for God. There is security in that we belong to him. He has promised that nothing will pluck us out of his hand. He provides protection for us as his holy angels encamp around about them that fear and trust him. There is also great comfort in knowing that he will provide for us in the various areas of our lives. He provides for his own. Our needs will be supplied both spiritually and naturally and materially in Jesus Christ. It is a privilege to allow our talent and ability to be used in the work of God. The various talents that we are blessed with came from him. We gladly expend ourselves and to be a blessing unto others. We are the ambassadors for Christ in this world, and we must represent him well in this world. By doing so, we exalt his holy name before the lost. He is the way and always will be Lord in our life. We must lift him up, for he is the one and true living and living God. He is to receive the glory for any good that comes from our life. For Jesus Christ reigns supreme in this world as well in our life. Because Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Child of God, in my closing, if you are in need of things, God has given us a prescribed antidote for our answer to every one of our needs. He said, first of all, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Start seeking his kingdom and his righteousness and see if God will not begin to add these things unto you. So in my closing, as I always would say, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you, according to Matthew 7:7. Oh, it's a promise unto you, child of God. Claim your promise. All of his promises are yea and amen. But we as the children of God, we must claim every one because they belong unto you. And so, child of God, until we come back and meet again, I pray that God will bless you with a no-sorrow blessing that will come to your home on today, that he will continue to make you rich and add no sorrow unto you. Yes, I pray and I agree with you for that no-sorrow blessing to come to your household, to your children, and your children's children. It's a promise. Claim your promise, child of God, that God has given unto you. He purchased it on the cross of Calvary. It's already in the mind of God that you and your seed will be blessed. Child of God, until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord continue to be with you. Call somebody. Encourage them to join us right here at home. Helen Arm, Ministry of Empowerment. Till we meet again, God bless you.